So, John 10 and verse 1, the Lord Jesus is speaking. Let's hear the word of God. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke about. Then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door for the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. And then verse 22. Now it was a feast of dedication in Jerusalem, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then the Jews surrounded him and said to him, how long do you keep us in doubt? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you do not believe, because you are not of my sheep. As I said to you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. We thank God for the reading of his word. The verses that I want us to spend the rest of our time considering are John 10 and verses 26 to 29. John chapter 10 and verses 26 to 29. I'll read them again for you. But you do not believe because you are not of my sheep, as I said to you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Great verses that speak to us of the security of being a sheep for whom Jesus died. The absolute security that we are safe. They will never perish, says Jesus. They have eternal life. They're in his hand. And no one can ever snatch them from the hand of Jesus. Not only so, but they are in the hand of the Father. So no one can ever snatch them from the Father's hand. This double hand grip of security. The security that comes from being one of Jesus's sheep. Security is a most important matter. National security is something that our governments always have to spend a tremendous amount of money on. We have MI5, MI6. We have various security forces in order to ensure national security. And there's financial security as well that is necessary. And so just 10 years ago, we had a huge banking crisis and the security of our finances was under threat. And financial security is something that many people are very concerned about. Their security right now and their security for the future, their pension provision, their investments. Financial security is something that many people long for and strive for in different ways. And then there's personal security as well, to make sure that you yourself are secure and your possessions are secure. It's a big issue. Where do we find it? How can we be sure of it? And who will make sure that we are secure? Who are we looking to for that? We're living in a very uncertain period in the life of our country and the life of Europe. Who's negotiating on our behalf? Who's speaking up for us? And how can we be sure of a future? What will life be like in even in 12 months' time? Is there anything really that's certain? Well, people look for security in lots of different places. I wonder where you look for your security. Some people look for political decision-making for their security. But I think we have seen over the last few years that there seems to be very little certainty there. If anyone is resting their life's security on politicians and their ability to negotiate and to bring about security in our country, then I think the last few years have certainly disillusioned us of that. Some people look for security in their bank account, and they think that maybe as long as they've got enough, even if they lose their job, they've still got enough to fall back on for a while, and as long as they've got enough cover, and perhaps insurance cover as well, and health cover, then surely they'll be secure. But again, 10 years of insecurity and uncertainty and austerity have meant that we can't really rely on our bank accounts to make sure that we have rock-solid investments. There's no such thing. Other people look to their family, and they say, well, my family are my security. I love my family, and my parents, your children, might look to your parents and say, well, they'll look after me. And, of course, that is their task to do that. And perhaps when we're older, we look to family in order to bring about our security and our solid safety. We look to others. But we're only human. Every one of us is only human, subject to the winds of change and of ill health and misfortune. And it's a heavy load to place on somebody to expect them to provide for all of your security. Other people say, well, I'm not really interested in any of those things. I will look to myself. I'm okay. I'm all right. I'm secure. My life is all right. I've got everything sorted. I'm a strong person. I'm not weak. I'm not dependent on anybody else. I'm not looking to anything or anybody else. I'm just going to look to myself. Recently, we had another of the Invictus Games. You remember the Invictus Games. And they are for servicemen who have been disabled as a result of war. And the word Invictus means unconquerable. That's what the word means, the Latin word, unconquerable. But it comes from a poem. You notice that whenever you see the word Invictus, and it's Invictus Games, the word Invictus is on the top and the word Games is underneath, and highlighted are two words. In Invictus, the middle word I is highlighted, and Games, the two letters AM are highlighted, and so it reads I am. Invictus Games, I am. And that is a reference to the poem Invictus. You might also remember the film Invictus, about the rugby, well, not about the rugby, really about South Africa and the resurrection of South Africa under Nelson Mandela. But the film was called Invictus. All of it refers back to a poem written by William Ernest Henley. And this is how the poem goes. Out of the night that covers me, black as the pit from pole to pole, I thank whatever gods may be for my unconquerable soul. In the fell clutch of circumstance, I have not winced nor cried aloud. Under the bludgeonings of chance, my head is bloody but unbowed. Beyond this place of wrath and tears looms but the horror of the shade, and yet the menace of the years finds and shall find me unafraid. It matters not how strait the gate, how charged with punishments the scroll. I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul. That encapsulates the feelings and thoughts of our generation. That is how people think. Many, many people, not everybody, many people. I'm okay. I am the master of my fate. It's up to me. I can make of my life what I want to make of it. I will sort it out. I will succeed. I will be the one who I'll do it. I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul. I am the one who will direct my life in the direction that I want to go in. And I am unconquerable, invictus. And you see, in that poem, the writer even says that he doesn't care about death. Doesn't matter. He says, all it is the horror of the shade. It's just some shadows that I don't know about so far. But I don't care even about death. Because when I meet it, I don't care what is written against me. You see what he says? I don't care how charged with punishments the scroll. I don't care what God has written against me. I don't mind about that because I'm the one. I'll be all right. I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul. And that's how many people think. What does the Bible say? What does the Bible say about that? Jesus is in Jerusalem. And he's there for a feast. It's called the Feast of Dedication. It's a feast in the winter time. It's not one of the three major feasts. It's not Passover or Pentecost or Tabernacles. This is a feast that was commemorating a more recent event in Jesus' time. In 167 BC, the Syrian emperor, Antiochus Epiphanes, attempted to establish uniform worship throughout the whole of the empire that he had conquered. And so he came into Jerusalem, he desecrated the temple by sacrificing pigs on the altar, and he set up his own altar to Zeus. Now, he was opposed heroically by Judas Maccabeus and his followers. And eventually they succeeded in 164 BC. And they reconsecrated the temple and rededicated the temple and they established an eight-day celebration. So this is a remarkable time for Jesus to start talking about national security and start talking about people who are conquerors. Judas Maccabeus and his followers have become heroes to the Jews. And this annual festival, the Feast of Dedication, is We would probably more know it as the Festival of Lights or Hanukkah. The Jews still celebrate it. So Jesus goes down and he starts to talk to people. And he says some surprising things. He says, everything depends on whether you are my sheep or not. If you're my sheep, then you have security forever. If you're not my sheep, then you have no security. You can't look to old dead heroes. You can't look to yourself for your own security. You can't say, I'm unconquerable. Jesus says, you need to be my sheep. Now that seems to be quite ridiculous. And many people thought it was ridiculous when he said it. But he says, no, the question is, are you my sheep or not? If you're my sheep, he says, then you are this secure. You are kept in the hand of God. And there is nothing and no one in this whole universe who will ever be able to snatch you. I will keep you safe forever, eternally, if you are my sheep. If you're not my sheep, then you have no security at all. Your life, however much you might like to think that you're in charge, that you're okay, that you will work it out, you won't. You can't. Because my Father is the one who will determine your fate. Not you, nor anybody else, but my Father. And so it is absolutely vital that we understand what Jesus is saying and that we decide what we're going to do with it. So let's have a think about what it means to be the sheep of Jesus. Jesus says, first of all, that those who continue in their unbelief show that they are not Jesus' sheep. See, how do you know whether someone is a sheep belonging to Jesus or not? Jesus said it's very, very simple and it's incredibly clear. Those who continue in their unbelief are not Jesus' sheep. Listen to what he says here, verse 26. But you do not believe because you are not of my sheep. See, Jesus was quite reluctant to declare himself in public. The Pharisees, Jewish leaders, all wanted him to say, are you the Christ? Are you the Son of God? Is that what you really are? And he knew that it was a trap. So he wouldn't openly declare himself. There was also an emotional fever and fervor about national political heroes and deliverers. So Jesus instead gives this teaching about the shepherd and the sheep. Again, it's quite relevant because the Jewish leaders were often referred to in the Old Testament as shepherds. So the king in the Old Testament was supposed to be a shepherd of the people, and the people were supposed to be the sheep. So in this period of national rejoicing, they were thinking of some of the great shepherds who had led them as a nation. And Jesus says, well, let me tell you about the real shepherd and the real sheep. He says, I am. I'm the good shepherd. I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd actually lays down his life for the sheep. These old-time heroes, well, they fought on your behalf. Some of them died, but they didn't die for you. They died because they sought to bring freedom and liberation. But did they really? Remember, Jesus is speaking in a time when the Romans are in charge. He could easily have just pointed to the Roman soldiers and centurions around and said, are we really free? What did Judas Maccabeus actually do for us? The Romans are still in charge of our land. But he said, I want to take you to something completely different from that. I want to take you to myself. I am the good shepherd, he says. And my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. But he says, if you are not my sheep, then you're not going to listen to me. You're just going to go your own way, as sheep often do. The reason that you don't listen to me, says Jesus, the reason you don't believe in me is because you're not my sheep. You reject my claim to be the Son of God. And indeed, the Pharisees and the leaders thought that Jesus was demon-possessed and mad. You see it there in chapter 10 and verse 20. Many of them said he has a demon and is mad. Why do you listen to him? And there's still people like that today. What do you want to listen to Jesus for? What do you want to listen to that old book, that Bible, talking about things that happened years and years ago? You must be mad. Why listen to him? And that's what, no, the reason people say that is because they are not the sheep who belong to Jesus. If they had been his sheep, they would have believed in him. You don't become a sheep of Jesus by believing in him. You show that you are a sheep because you do believe and you do listen. Thankfully, there were other people who didn't think that Jesus was mad. They actually wanted to find out a bit more. And it may be that these people were sheep and they would soon be seen to be the sheep. Because verse 21 says, others said, these are not the words of one who has a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? They were more open to listen to what Jesus says. It may be that you're like that this morning. Because there are people who are still prepared to listen. What does Jesus really say? Some of you young people, you're made to come to church, perhaps. Your family's come to church. But I hope that in the process of coming, you're prepared to give Jesus a hearing and to listen to what he says. Because you're in a much better position than many young people who don't have an opportunity to listen to Jesus. But that doesn't make you a sheep. Just being here doesn't make you a sheep. Just growing up in a Christian family doesn't make you a sheep. Even just listening to the Bible doesn't make you a sheep. Or even praying doesn't make you a sheep. You see, there's much more to it. But it's quite clear that those who continue in their unbelief show that they are not Jesus' sheep. So let's think about who Jesus' sheep are. Jesus' sheep will always show themselves. Look at verse 27. My sheep hear my voice. And I know them, and they follow me. That's what it is. That's how you know how somebody is a sheep belonging to Jesus. There's something that is true of every single one of Jesus' sheep. You can recognize them. You can recognize a true believer in Jesus. You can recognize a true Christian. How do you do that? Well, Jesus says there's several things about them, but he says, first of all, they are those who hear my voice. That's the first thing. If you are a sheep belonging to Jesus, then you will hear his voice. Not just listen to his voice, but actually hear his voice. You'll be listening out for that voice. It will enter not just your mind, but your whole being. You will hear the voice of Jesus. Now you might say, well, how do we hear the voice of Jesus today? How do we hear his voice? And the answer is, you hear the voice of Jesus through his word. Jesus is no longer here in the world. He has gone back to heaven. If he were in the world, he could only be in one place at one time. And so if we had the misfortune of living even 100, 200 miles away from where he was, we wouldn't be able to hear his voice. Unless we traveled great distances. But Jesus has gone back to heaven now. So how do we hear his voice? Well, when Jesus went back to heaven, he left two things. First of all, he left on earth his apostles. And those apostles were given the task of speaking the very words of Jesus. And those apostles went and preached the good news of Jesus. And they also wrote it down for us. So we have in the Bible the words of Jesus as they have been written for us by the apostles. Men who were specially chosen and men who were given the ability to write the words of Jesus and to make sure that those words are absolutely accurate and reliable. They wrote under the inspiration of the second great gift of Jesus. The apostles was the first great gift. The second is the Holy Spirit. The Lord Jesus sent the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, and he has been with his apostles and with his church ever since. And the apostles and the Holy Spirit together enable us to hear the word of Jesus. How do you do that? Well, the Holy Spirit must enable you to hear. But you hear through the word of God, the Bible, which we are able to read, but supremely through the preaching of the word of God, we hear Jesus' voice. When the word of God is preached by the power of the Holy Spirit, we hear the word of Jesus. And Jesus says that if you are a sheep, then you will listen to that word. You will hang on that word. You will want to hear the words of Jesus. You will want to know what Jesus says. Because it's one of the marks of being a sheep. You just need to know, need to hear. You will want to hear. You will want to come together with God's people. You will want to listen to the preached word of God, because as you listen, you are hearing the word of Jesus when the word of God is preached. Not just when the words of a man, the ideas of a human being. That's not the word of Jesus. But when this word is preached with the Holy Spirit, you are hearing the word of Jesus. And when you listen to it and hear it, it's one of the marks of being one of Jesus' sheep. Secondly, you are brought into a relationship with Jesus. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, says Jesus. I know them. That speaks of a relationship of knowledge. Jesus knows his sheep. If you are a sheep today belonging to Jesus, Jesus knows you. He knows you by your name. He knows everything about you. He loves you. He cares for you. There is a personal, individual knowledge of each one of the sheep. Just as a shepherd would know every one of the sheep and know their names. A shepherd, you know, all sheep look the same, don't they? But not to the shepherd. The shepherd knows each individual sheep. And Jesus knows each individual sheep belonging to him. And they are precious to him. If you are a sheep belonging to Christ today, you are very precious to the Lord Jesus. You are one of his precious possessions. He loves you as if you were the only sheep. He loves you deeply and dearly. Gave his life for you. And then thirdly, not only do they hear his voice, not only do they have this personal relationship with him, but they follow him. My sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. This is speaking about a new life, a new lifestyle. They live for Jesus. They follow me. What does it mean to follow someone? You know, you can follow people on Twitter, can't you? What does it mean? It means nothing, really. Follow somebody on Facebook. What does it mean? It just means you're nosy. It doesn't mean anything, really, does it? You're interested in their life. Okay. But following Jesus, if you're really following someone and following Jesus, it means something far deeper. It means that your whole life is moving in the direction that Jesus Christ is taking you. That's what it means. You are moving in Jesus' direction. You are saying, Lord, I'm going to follow you. There's lots of things I can do in my life, but I want to keep my eyes on you, Jesus. I want you to lead me to do the things that you want me to do. I'll be pulled in all sorts of directions because that's what life is like. But a sheep will always follow the shepherd. And that is what it is. It's a life of discipleship. The proof of faith is obedience. You obey what Jesus says. A life of discipleship is the evidence that you are a sheep belonging to Jesus. You see, being a sheep doesn't mean that one day, years ago, you said you believed in Jesus. So that's okay then. I'm a Christian. No, you're not. If you're looking back 20, 30 years or even last year and saying, well, yeah, I said a little prayer and I put my faith in Jesus. You're not a Christian just because you did that. You're a Christian if you are hearing Jesus' voice today and you have a relationship with him today where he's your Savior and Lord and where you are following him today. He's your Lord. He's your Master. You're following Jesus and you're saying every day, Lord, I want to please you. None of us do that perfectly. I'm not asking for perfection in discipleship. But that must be a mark of our lives, that we are following Jesus. And can you say that? That's the question. If you're a sheep belonging to Jesus, then those three things will be true of you today. You will hear his voice and you will love to hear the voice of Jesus. Secondly, you have a relationship with him. He's your master. He's your Lord. He's your shepherd. He loves you and you love him. You're precious to him. And thirdly, you're following him. You're saying, not what I want, Lord, it's what you want in my life. And you are living for Jesus day by day. That's what it means to be a sheep. That's what it means to be a Christian. And it's a glorious, wonderful thing. It means you belong to Jesus. Now, the last thing that Jesus tells us is this. His sheep are safe forever. His sheep are safe forever. Listen to what he says. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. They are safe forever. Why? Because they are in possession of the greatest gift that anyone can ever receive. What do you think the greatest gift is that anyone could give you? Perhaps you think it's an object, or perhaps it's something of great value, or perhaps it's a huge amount of money, or a house, or something like that. And someone gave that to you, say, that's a wonderful gift. No. Jesus says there's something even more precious than that, and it's eternal life. The gift of eternal life. I give them eternal life. That's what Jesus says. No longer are we just part of this passing world. No longer are we under the influence and power of death and evil that will separate us from everything that we know, everything that we love. We are now part of something that is permanent and secure and lasting. We're part of the kingdom of heaven, and we possess eternal life, a life that begins now and will never end. Even if our bodies die, as they will, unless Jesus comes back before, we will one day die and our bodies will one day rest in the grave, but that life will go on forever and ever and ever because it's eternal, and no one can ever put that life to death. And Jesus says, I give them eternal life. You don't earn it. It's not your right. None of us deserve it. We can't claim it. Jesus Christ gives it of his grace, and we receive it as a gift. Jesus says, I give all my sheep that wonderful gift of eternal life. And then another thing, Jesus says that because they possess this eternal life, and because I am their shepherd, and because they are my sheep who follow me, then they are secure forever. Now, someone might say, well, maybe I will perish. Maybe I will die. And then when I die, I'll be lost forever. And Jesus says, no, they will never perish. That word perish means to die and to be lost forever. That's what perish means. And Jesus says, no. No, that will never, ever happen. You won't perish. Even death won't ever separate you from my love. When you get to that point in your life and nothing else matters because this life is coming to an end, you will fix your eyes on Jesus and you will say, that's my shepherd. He gave me eternal life. He's not going to desert me now. He'll see me even through this last terrible battle, and I will come through it because no one will ever be able to separate me, and I will never, ever perish. It's what one great preacher years ago said. Christ declares that his people will never perish. Weak as they are, they will all be saved. Not one of them shall be lost and cast away. Not one of them shall miss heaven. If they err, they shall be brought back. If they fall, they shall be raised. The enemies of their soul may be strong and mighty, but their Saviour is mightier, and none shall pluck them out of their Saviour's hand. Those are wonderful words. Yes, it's true that as Jesus' sheep, we often go astray. Even as his sheep, we sometimes wander off. But Jesus will bring you back. He won't have that. He'll bring you back. Sometimes you fall, but Jesus will raise you up again, and he will keep you to the very end, and you will never perish. That's the promise of these verses. That's the word of Jesus. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. And there's another thing. Someone might think, well, but maybe someone will separate me from Jesus. Maybe someone will drag me away from him. Maybe something will happen in my life and I'll be separated from Jesus. And Jesus says, no, that's not going to happen either. Because no one will be able to snatch you out of his hand. He said, well, what if Jesus lets me go? He won't let you go. But even if he did, there's another pair of hands that are keeping you safe. Even it could be feasible to think that Jesus could possibly let you go. He won't. But even if he did, there's another pair of hands, because you're in the Father's hands as well, and no one will be able to snatch you from the Father's hand. And so we're able to say, if we're Christians, if we're sheep this morning, we're able to say, now I belong to Jesus, and Jesus belongs to me, not for the years of time alone, but for eternity. The most important thing in all the world is to be one of Jesus' sheep. Are you? Are you? You can know. You can know by this. What do you think of Jesus? What do you think of his words? Do you long to hear them? Do you love to listen to them? Do you want to know what Jesus says? Are you listening out for his voice amidst all the voices of the world around? Are you listening for his voice? That's a mark that you're one of Jesus' sheep. Do you know Jesus? Do you really know him personally? Is he your savior? Is he your king? Does he know you? All about you? Do you speak to him in prayer? This is another sign that you belong to Jesus. Are you following Jesus? Are you saying each day, I want to do what pleases Jesus, not what pleases me? That's another sign that you're one of Jesus' sheep. I heard the voice of Jesus say, come unto me and rest. Lay down, thou weary one. Lay down thy head upon my breast. I came to Jesus as I was, weary and worn and sad. I found in him a resting place, and he has made me glad. Is that true of you today? Then you belong to Jesus. What a wonderful thing. You say, well, I don't think that is true of me. Well, you're here this morning, aren't you? You're hearing the voice of Jesus. Don't just dismiss it. Don't just carry on in unbelief. Don't just carry on in your own sweet way and say, oh, I'm going to live my life my way, thank you very much. Don't carry on like that. You'll be confirming that you're not one of Jesus' sheep. Rather, if Jesus speaks to you, listen to his voice, respond to him, come to him, pray, seek him on your own. In that quiet time when it's just you and God, pray and seek for Jesus to confirm that you belong to him and you love him and he loves you. So there is two ways of living. Are you going to be invictus? I'm unconquerable. I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul. Are you going to live like that? You're going to be sadly disappointed. Sadly disappointed. So much in this world shows that there's no security there. Or are you going to come to Christ, who promises you that he can give you eternal life and you'll never perish? Which is it going to be? Which is it going to be? Come to Christ. If you've never come before, come to Christ. And if you are a sheep belonging to Christ, then be assured that he loves you deeply. You are precious in his sight, and he will never, ever let anything snatch you away from him. No matter all the trials you go through, all the difficulties of your life, and there will be many, he will never, ever desert you, and he will never let you go. That's the sort of Savior that I want. That's the sort of Savior that where there is real security. And may we, each one of us, know that in our lives. Well, may God bless his word to our hearts.